Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Lamed Hey. We're on the middle of Lamed Dalid Amud Beis. And reminder, back in the Mishnah taught that if a kosher Kohen catches the blood but then hands it over to a pasul person, so just have the pasul person hand the blood back to him. If he catches it in his right, and he puts the vessel into his left, so put the vessel back into the right. If he catches it in a holy vessel, and he pours it into a non-holy vessel, pour it back into a holy vessel. So the Gemara asks, why do we need three examples of that concept, that once it was caught the right way, and then given over to a pasul person, pasul vessel, pasul hand, just put it back. Utsrich, I need to teach you each of these examples. The Yashmin Apostle, if it would have said that if he caught it, a kosher Kohen catches it, then he hands it to someone disqualified. Havamina would have thought, my Apostle, what's the definition of disqualified? Tameh. A Kohen who's impure. So I would have thought, okay, if he hands it to an impure, he should get it back, because impurity is not such a disqualification. The Chazil Avodas Tzibur. Because as we've said, if we talk about a communal sacrifice, then impurity gets overruled. Avil small low, but handing over to his left hand, maybe not. Vyashmin and small, and if would have said if he caught it in his right, then he hands it to the left. I would say the left is not such a disqualification. This le'achsheir b'yom kippurim, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol goes into the holiest of holies, holding first in one hand a pan of coals, and in the other hand a spoon filled with ktores. So the ktores is held in the left hand. So you see that the left hand is not such a disqualification. On Yom Kippur, some service is done with the left. Aval kli chol lo, but if you would put it from a holy vessel into a secular vessel, then maybe it is disqualified. V'yishmin kli chol, Nif would have just told us the case of the secular vessel, mishum dechazi lekidushinu, because I would think that's not such a big problem, because you can always consecrate it. Aval hanach, but you can't fix the left, you can't fix that which is tameh, emalo, so then if you would hand it to them, maybe it's disqualified. So let's have to say all three cases. So now the Gemara asks a question. The three cases of the Mishnah. A Kohen Kasher catches the blood, then he hands it to somebody, pasul. Kohen Kasher catches the blood in a holy vessel, puts it into a non-holy vessel. Kohen Kasher catches the blood in his right, and he hands it to his left. In each of those cases, the Mishnah said, just give it back, and then you can keep on doing the service. But let the blood and the korban be considered pushed aside. And since at one point it was in the hands of those who couldn't do it, right? If it's in the hands of the tummy can't do the service. So it should now be pushed aside, and that should be a disqualification, that it was pushed aside. Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Ravina answered by telling Ravashi, this is what Rav Yirmi Medifti answered. Hamani Chanan HaMitzri. Who is the author of the Mishnah? It's the Tana Chanan HaMitzri. The Lesley Dechuyin. He doesn't believe that things get pushed aside. The Tanya went to the Mitzri. Yeah?
Changing hands, doesn't it make it Tame from Moses?
No. Just put it back. Put it back into the right hand.
That's it. Because it's communal sacrifice?
No. In general. Just put it right back. Titania, as we learned in a Braisa, Chanan HaMitzri Omer. Chanan HaMitzri says like this. In terms of the two goats of Yom Kippur, we know that there is a Sayer LaHashem and the Sayer LaAzazel. So Chanan HaMitzri said the following thing, that if you have, there we're talking about a case, let's say you pulled the lot, the Kohen Gadol pulls the lots, one goat is going to be now a Karban LaHashem, the other goat is going to be sent LaAzazel. So he slaughters the Karban LaHashem, he catches the blood. And what happens if the blood spills? So Chanan HaMitzri says, Afilu dam bakos. Let's say you have the blood of the Sayer LaHashem in the cup, because the Sayer LaHashem was already slaughtered. And then the Sayer Mishtaleach drops dead. So what does Chanan HaMitzri say? All you need to do is maybe Chaveir or Mezaviglo, bring another goat, and have that goat now become Sayer Mishtaleach, and pull a new lot, so make that goat into Sayer Mishtaleach. So even though it died, we don't say it's dachui, the other blood is pushed aside. He doesn't hold the things being pushed aside. So that's answer number one. Answer number two. Rav Ashi said, Kol Shabiyada lo havidachui. Maybe this Mishnah is not Chanana Mitzri. It's those who disagree with Chanana Mitzri. There is such a thing as a carbon being pushed aside. So you might say, once the blood is put into the left hand, so now let the carbon be pushed aside. The answer is, since it's in his hands to fix it, he can always put it back to the right hand. That's why it's not pushed aside. Amar Rav Shaya, Rav Shaya brought a proof. Kavasi, Rav Ashi, Mistaber. Makes sense like Rav Ashi. Man Shamat Le, Dislit Chuyin. Who's the opinion that there is such a thing as a carbon being pushed aside and then being disqualified? It's Rabbi Yehuda. It's not within the Mishnah. Vodam Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you have the two goats of Yom Kippur, one has been determined to be the Sarah LaHashem, the other has been determined to be the Sarah LaHazaza. The Sarah LaHashem has been slaughtered. The blood was caught, Nishbach Adam, and then the blood spills. So now, what are you going to do? So you need to get a new goat. And this new goat has to be chosen to be a Sarah LaHashem from a new lottery. So Yamas HaMishtaleach. So now the goat that was waiting to go to the wilderness is rejected. It's pushed aside. You have to put it to death. Meis HaMishtaleach, if the goat that was standing waiting to be brought to the wilderness and dropped off a cliff drops dead. Shafech Adam. So now you have to make a new Sarah Mishtaleach. So this blood that was already waiting to be the Sarah LaHashem, this gets to be poured out. It's get pushed off. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that such a thing as Dachwi. V'shaminalan, even so, Rabbi Yehuda is the same one who says, Kol Shabiyada lo avi dachli. When you have the power to fix things, it's not considered pushed aside. The Tanya, as we learned in a Braisa about Erev Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda says, in Erev Pesach, they slaughter lots of Karbanos Pesach. Now, the service of the blood of the Karban Pesach has to be put onto the Mizbeach, somewhere above the base, somewhere above the Yesod. On a part of the Mizbeach, it's above the base. So Rabbi Yehuda says that in Erev Pesach, they'd have lots of Karbanos Pesach, and there'd be a lot of blood on the floor. Sometimes it'd be the blood of a Karban Pesach that spilled on the floor before it got to the Mizbeach. So what would he do? At the end of the day, Kosa Echad Hayimimali Midamata Roves. He used to take a cup and put it onto the floor and fill up a cup full of blood from all the bloods that are mixed on the floor and throw it onto the Mizbeach. And that way, certainly, and throw it opposite the Yesod, throw it on the Mizbeach above the foundation. So that way, some of this blood that had spilled will get up back onto the altar. Now, 1 second. The blood was in a vessel, then it spilled. So why don't we say it's pushed aside? When it's on the floor, it's not going to be brought. It's pushed aside. So what do you see? Why is it not pushed aside? Shemamina, you see. Kol Shabiyad lo havidachui. Since he always has the option, even after it spills, to pick up from the floor. So since he has the option to fix it, he has the power to fix it. Whatever is in his power to fix is not considered pushed aside. Shema Mina, that is a very good proof to this idea. That's Ravashi's answer. So now we're going to talk about this some more, about how the Karbanos, what they used to do with the blood on Erev Pesach. Gufa, we learned. Han Rilutin Abraisa, Rabbi Yehuda says, on Erev Pesach, as lots of blood is spilling onto the floor, because there are tons of animals getting slaughtered, the Kohen at one point would take a cup, fill a cup with the blood from the floor, and throw it onto the altar. Kos Echarei Mamal Midamata Roves, he would fill up a cup with the blood of that which is mixed on the floor. Why? Shim Yishafech Echad Mehem, because if one of the Karbanos, the blood spilled onto the floor, Nimtzeshu Machshiro, by this act of taking a cup full of blood, throwing it onto the altar, he's fixing that Karban. Because when he takes a cup full, he's going to have lots of bloods mixed in, also the blood from that Karban. And so some of that blood is going to now end up on the altar. Amrilo, so the sages said to Rabbi Yehuda, but maybe this is blood that went directly from the sheep or goat onto the floor. It was never caught in a vessel. If it was never caught in a vessel, it becomes disqualified if it goes from the animal to the floor.
Right, that's what it is.
So the Gemara says, no. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Mina yadi. How do they know it didn't go into a vessel? So the Gemara pointed, that's the question. Elashem alone is kabul b'kli. Maybe it didn't go into a vessel. Maybe it went directly from the animal to the floor. Amalehen, Rabbi Yehuda said, we're not worried about that. Afanilo amarti, elakashin is kabul b'kli. I'm only saying you're going to fix those karbanos where the blood was caught in a vessel and then it spilled onto the floor. So the Gemara says, "V'haguf minayada." So how do you even know that that's going to happen? Why are you assuming that that's going to happen? That it's going to be caught in a vessel first? The answer is Kohanim's reason. Haim. Kohanim, they have passion. They rush to do things. They rush to do mitzvos. So Kohanim are so excited. They get to catch the blood. They're all catching the blood right away. We know that the blood was caught because Kohanim have reason. So 1 second. Well, if they have so much passion, why do you think that the blood spilled? Oh, that's why it spills. For Avdin Haya, they're so passionate, they're rushing. So because they're rushing, yeah, they're clumsy. Umishtapchin. So they're rushing, things spill. So Gemara says, well, how did you fix things by taking a cupful and then throwing it onto the altar? Halo dama tamsis muravbo. You're going to have mixed in lots of blood here. You'll have blood maybe from this carbon that spilled. But you'll also have blood that's not supposed to go onto the altar. Because we know when an animal is slaughtered, there is the initial blood of the neck that we don't need. Then there is the blood that jumps out. That's the blood which has the life. And then there is the blood that dribbles out at the very end. That blood that dribbles out is not supposed to go onto the altar. Some of that's on the floor. If he takes a cup and he puts his cup onto the floor and he picks up blood, he's going to also have blood which is dama nefesh in that cup, which shouldn't even be going onto the altar. Answers the Gemara, dama tamsis going onto the halo dama tamsis murbo. You have blood that dribbled out mixed in. Answers the Gemara, Yehuda l'tame. This is the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Dama tamsis kari dam. He thinks that that blood has the status of blood in regards to the prohibition of eating blood, and therefore it also has the status of blood in regards to going onto the altar. The time is limited. Brisa dama tamsis bazhara. The blood that has life, that if you eat, you'd get kares. The blood that's just dribbling out at the end, that's just a prohibition. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'kares. Rabbi Yehuda says that also has the punishment of kares. So Gemara says, how could you say that? For Amar Rabbi Elazar, but didn't Rabbi Elazar teach Mod Rabbi Yehuda Linyan Kapar Shein HaMachaper? Rabbi Yehuda, though, agrees that the blood that dribbles out is not the blood that can create atonement by being put onto the altar. Shein Amar, as the verse says, the blood that has life in it, that's blood. But the blood that doesn't have life, that's not the blood to create atonement. Ella, so the answer is, Rabbi Yehuda Latame. We've learned many times there's something called a mixture of min bimino, a mixture of type with its own type. So Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that mixtures of type with its own type don't lose identity. Even 1,000, even 10,000 times, if it's all the same type, it doesn't lose its identity. So this is Rabbi Yehuda speaking. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that mixtures of type with its own type don't lose identity. So what was the problem? Maybe there's going to be blood of Tamsis here. So what? The blood is not going to lose its identity, the good blood. And Rabbi Yehuda holds, ain dam evatel dam. The blood is not going to annul other blood. So because as long as you have even a fraction of the right blood, it still has its identity. So that's how you can fix the carbon. But if there is blood of a carbon pesach that's spilled from the vessel, this fact that you're going to now fill up a cupful of blood from the floor and throw it on the altar is going to fix it. Because in that cupful, what are you going to have? Dama tamsis with dama nefesh, okay. Dama nefesh doesn't lose its identity. Min bimino lo batel. Mixtures of the same type don't lose their identity. So some of the dama nefesh is going to end up on the altar, and that's already enough to make the carbon pesach kosher. Yeah, 1 second, Lloyd has a question.
There's two questions. One is going to make me look silly, but...
No, no,
anyway. The first one was, didn't we talk about that if you... Let's say the raffle and the two goats and the one goat dies on the way, yeah. Then you have to do it again. So yeah. Now you've already put the blood of that goat in there, right? Mm. The first goat.
We were talking about if it was before the blood got there.
So that would be before.
Yeah, but that's still, that was an argument. It was an argument.
That would make the blood no good anymore, right? Because if that first goat, because now that goat is no longer...
Yeah. That's exactly the point. If you hold of Dachwi, Rabbi Yehuda, right, if you hold of Dachwi. Yeah. But we were talking about carbon pesach. We're not talking about the two goats.
Isn't there something, and this is where I come to, like, there's some minutiae amount of food that could touch another food and it's still okay?
Right. But right. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not true if it has the same tastes. Items with the same taste, according to Rabbi Yehuda, do not lose their identity in a mixture. So here, when you have different bloods mixed together, the blood that you're looking for, the blood of life, doesn't lose its identity. So therefore, you fulfilled the mitzvah by throwing this mixture of blood onto the altar.
Blood with life, when mm-hmm. it hits the ground,
yeah,
it doesn't have any life anymore.
Doesn't matter. Still, it was blooded with life. So now, Amar Lahem Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says to them, L'divreichem, if you're going to disagree with me, if you're going to say that you can't fix the blood that spilled to the floor, Salama Pokin Azara, why do we know that they would put all sorts of blocks on the normal drainage of the courtyard on Erev Pesach to keep all the blood in it? Normally there was a canal in the Beit HaMikdash to take the blood that spills out. But they would stop this canal up on Erev Pesach that all the blood should stay in the Azara. So according to me, it makes sense because the blood that will spill this way, all of it is still here. We can take a cupful. Some of the cupful will have some of that which spilled. So we can fix it. But according to you, that you think things get ruined once they fall, so then what's the point of stopping up all the drainage of the Azara on Erev Pesach? Amrulos, the sages said to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not because of what you're saying. The reason why we stop all the drains on Erev Pesach is Shevach Ulivnei Aaron. It's to create a praise for the sons of Aaron. Sheyahalchu Adar Kuvusein Bidam. That they should be walking up to their ankles, right?
Knees.
Wow. Up to their knees in blood. See what a beautiful sight. That normally when a person sees blood, they get revolted. But here the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron, are so excited. This is blood of a mitzvah. They're happy to walk up to their knees in blood. That adds to the Kiddush Hashem. So it wasn't because they wanted to pick up blood. It was because they want to have blood there so that it looks nicer. It's a Kiddush Hashem. So the Gemara says, 1 second, Vodam Avi Chatzitza, but the blood is now a barrier between them and the floor. So the Gemara says, no. Lachu, it's all moist. So whatever is moist, Lohavi Chatzitza, is not a barrier. It's not within a Mishnah. Dam. Blood, vadyo, or ink, vadvash, or honey, vachalav, or milk, evasion, if they're dry, chotetze, and then they are a barrier. Lachen, if they're moist, ain chotetze, they're not a barrier. So 1 second, how could you say that we want the Kohanim to be walking around up to their knees in blood? Vakamitvasvi manayu, but their garments will become all dirty. It's not within a Mishnah, begad of mutushdashim, if the Kohen's garments are dirty. Vavad, and he does service, avodaso psula, the service is disqualified. If you're going to tell me that they use the belt to yank up the pants, so the pants are yanked up over the knee, and that's how the pants are not getting dirty, then it's also disqualified. But because the verse, we learned in a brisa, the verse says, mi dovad. The Kohen has to have a garment according to his measure. Kimi daso, it has to fit him. Shelo yechzar, can't be too short. Shelo yotir, can't be too long. And if he hikes up the belt, so then it's too short. So Gemara says, you're right. The only time we would want it to be filled with blood, and so that he should be covered with the beauty of blood, when the Kohen is carrying the pieces to the ramp to be thrown into the fire, because that's already not a service, but not when he's dealing with the blood. He's dealing with the pieces that get consumed in the fire. Below, is that not a service? The verse says, V'hikri v'kohen esakol. The Kohen will bring everything close. Zu'alochas avarim lakevesh. That's the Kohen. He has to be wearing his vessels to be a Kohen when he's carrying the pieces to the ramp. Elobo lachas etim lamarachas. No, okay. So it's not carrying the pieces to the ramp. It's carrying the wood to the fire. The lava vodi. That's not a service. So still, if you stop the drains and the floors are filled with blood, so now how's he going to do the service? V'lavoda echi azli. How's he going to go do the service? The answer is Azli Aitztaba. He would go on top of a platform. On Erev Pesach, they would build platforms. So the platforms were attached to the ground. That's where they were part of the floor. But they were up above the floor. And meanwhile, they would stop all the drains. So there'd be tons of blood on the floor. But in terms of when he does the service of taking the blood to the altar or taking the pieces to the altar, he's running on the platform, his feet don't get dirty yet. But then when it's time for him to bring the wood to the fire, then he's walking on the floor with the blood, getting dirty, and it's a sign, a badge of honor for the Kohen, that he's dirty with the blood of Korban Pesach.
But he cannot do another Korban anymore. After
when he's dirty, he can't do the Korban.
That's carbon. It. It's one way street.
Let's yeah, well... Okay, now the next Mishnah. We learned that one of the acts of service of a Korban, let's say walking the blood, catching the blood, slaughtering, done with the declared intent that there would be consumption of the Korban. We saw the different types of consumption, but with a declared intent that there would be consumption of the Korban out of its time, makes the Korban contaminated, it becomes pigle. Out of its place, makes the Korban pasul. Says the Mishnah, Shochet Hazevach, a person who slaughters a Korban, Lechol, with the declared intent to eat out of time or out of place, Davar Shein Darko Lechol, something which is not normally eaten. In other words, let's say he's planning to eat, you know, parts of the animal that are going to be burned, the fat that are going to be burned in the fire. He says he's going to eat it at the wrong time. Or Lahakter Davar Shein Darko Lahakter, he says he's going to burn in the fire at the wrong time. He's going to offer up something which is not normally offered up, something which is actually eaten. Let's say the meat that's eaten. So then the Korban is kosher, because even though a thought of consumption of fire at the wrong time can make it pigle, but that's only with things that are normally consumed in fire. Rebbe Lezer says it does get disqualified, because he thinks, as we've seen, that you can move from thought about consumption in fire to thought of consumption by man. Next case. Let's say his thought to eat at the wrong time was on something which is normally eaten, meat. Or to offer up that which is normally offered at the wrong time. The thought was to eat only less than a kazayas of it. And it's still kosher. If the thought was to eat half an olive worth, and to offer half an olive worth, it's also kosher. Because the eating and the offering up do not combine to give you a full measure of a kazayas. Now a third law. Let's say he slaughters the animal with the intent to eat an olive worth of skin of animal at the wrong time. Or he's planning to eat an olive worth of the gravy that the animal was cooked in, when the carbon is cooked in it at the wrong time. Or minakipa, from this, how do they translate kipa? What's it? No, that's the alal. Alal is the tendon in the neck. Kipa is sediment, that's right. The sediments on the bottom of the pot, like the stuff, the accumulated stuff on the bottom. Again, it's not edible. Or his plan was to eat from the bones at the wrong time. Minagidin, to eat from, minalal is the thing in the neck. Atzamos are the bones. Minagidin, from the sinews. Minakarnayim, from the horns. Minatlafayim, from the talons. Chutzlazman or chutzlam komo, out of time or out of place. The carbon is still kosher, because this is not about eating anything. This is not even an act of eating. Vein chayav nalem mishum pigle. Now let's say the carbon was pigle because he had a thought to eat the meat at the wrong time. And then he eats some of the sediment, or he eats some of the tendon, or he eats some of the sinews. That's not violating pigle. Nor if the carbon was left over and he eats some of the horns, that's not violating nosa or pigle, or tame, or it being impure. Hashochet es hamukdashim. Let's say he slaughters a carbon and the carbon is pregnant. Lechol shlil, with the intention to eat the fetus at the wrong time. Oshilya, or to eat the sack that the fetus is in at the wrong time. Bachutz, the wrong place, the wrong time. Lo pigel, it's not considered pigel, because again, these are things that are not edible, not normally eaten. Hamolikas atorin, somebody who is, using the Kohen's using his thumb to sever the head of a bird. Lechol betzein bachutz, with the intention of eating the egg that's in the bird out of place, or out of time. Again, lo pigel, that doesn't make it into pigel because it's not considered part of the body of the bird, part of the carbon. Chalav mukdashin, the milk of a carbon, or beitzei torin, or the eggs in a pigeon, and the animal or the bird was made into pigle, because during the slaughtering there was an intent to eat the meat at the wrong time. So the milk of the animal or the eggs of this bird, ein chayav nalem mishum pigle, if they get eaten, it's not the violation of pigle, because they are not considered part of the animal. Also, if the animal or the bird become nosar, if you eat the eggs, you're not violating nosar. And if it becomes tameh, you're not violating, and if you're tameh and you eat it, you're not violating the prohibition of tameh. That's the Mishnah. Now the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Elazar says, pigel bezevach. Let's say a person, when he's slaughtering, has an intent to eat the meat of a carbon at the wrong time. So now the carbon became pigel, became contaminated. According to Rabbi Elazar, it's pagel ashlil. So now the fetus is also disqualified, and if a person eats the fetus, he would be violating pigel. However, bashlil, but if his intent was to eat the fetus at the wrong time, lo nispag lazevach, then the carbon as a whole does not become pigel. Another law of Rabbi Elazar, pigel ba'alal. If he has the thought to eat this tendon in the neck of a bird at the wrong time, so then, nispagel mora'ah. So, what is mora'ah? The croc. It's the, I think it's this
one. Had a pigmentum of the crop.
Crop, I think, is, Jay, what's the crop of a bird? It's this part, right? The,
yeah.
It's like that little beard-type thing of the, of the, of the rooster, of the chicken. So, it's not normally edible. The tendon of the chicken is edible, so thinking to eat that tendon at the wrong time makes it pigle, and the pigle then affects even the mora'ah, the crop. But the mora'ah, but again, Rabbi Elazar says, if his thought was to eat the mora'ah at the wrong time, lo nispagel alal, then the tendon did not become pigle. Now, there are karbanos that are not eaten at all. Let's say the bull of Yom Kippur, the bull of the nation when there's a wrong psak, when there's a wrong ruling. And these bulls, their blood is actually thrown on the inner altar, the altar in the Heichal. Then they have some fats that are burned on the outer altar, but their meat and their skin are burned outside of the city. So it's not, nothing really is eaten. Nothing's eaten. The blood is thrown on the Mizbeach HaZahav. The Emurim, the fats are burned, or Muktarim, on the Mizbeach. But the Basar, the meat, and the ore is burned in the Beit HaDeshen. It's all burned outside. Nothing is eaten. So now, in those things, Paraman Israfim, Upigel Be'emurim, let's say the thought was that the fats that are supposed to go on to the fires are going to be done at the wrong time. Nitpagel part, then these bulls become pigle. Anyone who eats from them would be chayev kares. But, baparim, but if his initial thought was that he was going to eat some of this meat at the wrong time, none of the meat was ever supposed to be eaten. So then lo nitpagel emurim. So then nothing became pigle. And if somebody would eat from the insides, from these emurim, from the fats that are supposed to be burned, he wouldn't be chayev kares. This is the view of Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar's chiddush is that there are all sorts of things that thinking about them won't make it pigle, but if the animal's already pigle, eating them would create a prohibition of pigle. So lema misayelet, maybe we can bring a proof to Rabbi Elazar. From a braisa, the Mishnah later on is talking about these karbanos, paraman israfim, whether they have a concept of pigle. There is a view, the view of Rabbi Shimon, who says that since their blood goes on the Mizbeach HaZahav, the inner altar, they don't have pigle. V'shavim, the Mishnah then says, everybody agrees, Shim chishev b'achilas parim, that if during the service of the blood that's going on the golden altar, there was a thought to eat from the bull's meat at the wrong time, or b'srei fasam, or to burn the bull's meat at the wrong time, lo asav lo klom, that's not considered pigle. So my lav. So he's saying if you're thinking to eat from the paran israfim, it does. It's not pigle. Hachishiv be'emurim. But if your thought was to take some of the fats that go onto the outer altar and to burn them at the wrong time, nispaglu paran. Then it does get disqualified. It becomes pigle. And if you eat from the meat, you'd get karis. So that's like Rebbe Lazar. So Mar says, well, maybe it's not such a proof. The point is, Achishav be'emurin, if he had a thought to throw the fats at the wrong time into the fires, nispagle emurin atzman, then the fats become disqualified. And if somebody ate from the fats, he'd be chayiv for pigle. But we don't see that eating the meat of parman esrafim could ever be a violation of pickle.
So Tush. Are those
they're not olas, they're chataos. They're sin offerings, but they're unique sin offerings that their blood goes on the inner altar and their pieces get burned entirely out of the Beit HaMikdash. Yeah, the bull of Yom Kippur is one of those examples. There are only three such animals. Tashma, come to your proof. We have a Mishnah in Me'ilah. Parman Israfim, the bulls that their pieces get burned out of the Beit HaMikdash. So Irman Israfim, the goats that get burned. Molin Bahan Mishahukdashu. Once they were consecrated, you could be Me'ilah if a person uses them for secular purposes. Nishchatu, once they're slaughtered, Hukshu Lipasel Bitvul Yom. They could be disqualified if someone somewhat tameh touches them. Ubamuchusar Kippurim, or someone who's still missing his karbanos, a zav, it's day 8 of his eve, he hasn't brought his karbanos. Ubalina, or if their mitzvahs weren't done, they were allowed to sleep over the night. So my love, so doesn't that sound like linas basar? If you leave the meat out and you don't bring it after it was slaughtered, it becomes disqualified. So shmamina, so then we should say from that, migu de pasla balina, if leaving the meat out of paraman esrafim disqualifies it, pasla baba machshava, so having the thought to leave it out, should also disqualify it. So let's say having a thought about the insides, that you're not going to offer the insides on time, you're going to leave them out, should turn the meat into pigle. So I said, no, maybe not. Lina seimura, maybe we're only talking about those parts that get thrown into the fire, and having a thought to leave those parts out would disqualify those parts as pigle, but not that the meat could ever become pigle. Hamidiktani Sefer, but look at the end of that Mishnah. The Mishnah there says, Kulan, all these bulls that get burned outside, Mualin Bahan al Beis Hadeshen, Ad Sheyutach HaBasar. Even when the meat is out of the Beit HaMikdash and it's being burned, there can still be Me'ilah until the meat is fully consumed. Michlal Dereisha, implying that we're talking about the meat, that the beginning also is talking about Linas Basar, leaving the meat over and not burning it at the right time. So when I says, no, maybe not meat area. What's the connection? Hakadisa. Maybe the beginning was talking about the insides, and the end is talking about the meat. Reisha Emurim, v'seifa b'basar. The beginning is talking about the fats that get burned on the fires, and the end is talking about the meat. Masav Rabba. Now Rabba challenged the view of Rabbi Lazar. We learned in a braisa. Ve'elu she'in b'fagim. These are things that if there was a thought to eat them at the wrong time, they don't make it pigle. And if there was a thought of eating things that could be eaten at the wrong time, these things don't become pigle. Samer shebarosh takvasim, the wool at the head of the sheep. Seyer shebezakan tiyashim, the hair at the beard of the goats. Ha'or, the skin, v'harotev, the gravy, v'akipa, and the sediments, v'alal, and the tendon in the neck, hamura'a, and the crop of a bird, v'atzamos, and the bones, v'agid, and the sinews, v'akarnaim, and the horns, v'atlafaim, and the nails, vashlil, and the fetus, vashilya, and the sack, v'chelev amukdashim, and milk of a cow, ubeitzei torim, and the eggs of a bird, lo mefaglin, if you have a thought to eat them at the wrong time, it doesn't make it pigle, and if you had thought to eat the meat at the wrong time, lo mispaglin, they don't become pigle, ein chayavan aleim mishum pigle, and if somebody would eat from them when the animal became pigle, there'd be no violation of pigle, nor nosar, nor tamit. And if someone actually offers some of them outside of the Azara Patri, he's not obligated in Karis. So my love, what does it mean? Lo mefaglin hazevach. They don't make the carbon into pigle with the thought to eat them out of time. Lo mispaglin machmas hazevach. And even if the carbon became pigle, they don't become pigle because they're not food. So that's against Rebbe Lazar. So the Gemara says, lo mefaglin es hazevach. They don't make the carbon into pigle. V'lo mispaglin machmas atzman. And they themselves don't become pigle. That if he threw the blood with the intent of eating these things at the wrong time, these things don't become pigle. But if the carbon became pigle, these things are pigle too. Yach, if that's the way you're reading it, hadiktani, this that it said, safe at the end, kula lo mefaglin v'lo mispaglin. All of them, they don't make pigle, they don't become pigle. Hatzu lamali, you already said that. V'litamech. So one second, even according to the way you wanted us to read the Braisa. When the Braisa said, in chayav alei mishum pigle asu lamali, why did it have to say again, you're not obligated with pigle for it? Ella, we already said it. Ella, I did the bay lemisni noser v'tameh, since we wanted to say, or leftover, or tameh, tada pigle, it also said pigle. So Hanami, I could say the same. I did boy lemisni amalim and bachutz, since I wanted to say the law that if you offer them outside, you would be exempt. Tananami v'kulam mafagim l'mispagim. That's what it also says. None of them become pigle, nor do they create pigle. But it's not necessarily a proof against Rabbi Elazar. Rav Amar Rava said, I have a proof to Rabbi Elazar. Afanan namitina. We learned in our Mishnah. Hashochet es hamukdashim leechol shlil o shul yabachutz lo pigel. If somebody slaughters a carbon to eat the fetus outside of time, it doesn't become pickle. Hamolik asatorim leechol beitzeyim bachutz. Someone who kills the bird to eat the eggs outside of time, lo pigel. It doesn't become pickle. For other tani, then it says, chalav hamukdashim, the milk that's in the carbon, ubeitzeyim, or the eggs of the pigeon, and chayav alei mishum pigle noser v'tamei. Then there's no obligation of pigle noser and tamei with the milk and the eggs, implying, why don't you talk about fetuses again? Hashlo v'shul yachayavim. But apparently the fetus, there is pigle. Elav shmamina, so here's the answer. Kan machmas hazevach. If the thought was to eat the meat at the wrong time, then the fetus also becomes pigle. Kan machmas atzmo. But if the thought was to eat the fetus at the wrong time, it doesn't become pigle. Even the fetus doesn't become pigle. Shmamina, and you see the Rebbe Elazar is right. Rabbi Hananya.